हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 91. Hamsavatar concluded. My dear Brahmanas, I have now explained to you the confidential knowledge of Shankhya, by which one philosophically distinguishes matter from spirit, and of Astanga Yoga, by which one links up with the Supreme. Please understand that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and that I have appeared before you desiring to explain your actual religious duties. Okay. O best of the Brahmanas, please know that I am the supreme shelter of the yoga system, analytic philosophy, virtuous action, truthful religious principles, power, beauty, fame, and self-control. All superior transcendental qualities, such as being beyond the modes of nature, detached, the well-wisher, the most dear, the super-soul, equally situated everywhere, and free from material entanglement. All such qualities, free from the transformations of material qualities, find their shelter and worshipable object in me. So Krishna's concluding like this. Okay. Yeah, so this important aspect is being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit and how to connect to Krishna. Right? That's what you're trying to do, is get all that to work. Right? Then you see within that, then these are actual religious duties. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Being able to understand what's the difference between matter and spirit, and then establish yourself in devotional service, that's the actual religious duties. Mm-hmm. And Krishna is the shelter of all these aspects and any other supporting things, the other religious aspects, truthful religion, all the opulences, everything like that, whatever qualities are there, those are all to be seen in relationship to Krishna. That's the whole point. Nothing else. Is that what makes sense? Yeah? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, the Kumaras may say, when you say you are the supreme shelter of power and fame, we see that you also show identification with the body. How have you taught us knowledge by doing that? To which the Lord responds, true, but I do not have a material body different from myself as the jiva has. It has no ahankara made of prakriti. It arises from my sarup and is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That is explained in this verse, right? Because they're saying is that, but if we look at it, you know, all these qualities and that we're, you know, have all these, you know, good abilities or anything like that, then we'll be, then the problem is false ego. Because remember, Krishna before had said that by performing activities, even devotional, but with false ego, then it doesn't please him. So then the point comes out is then, but here you're identifying all these different things with your body. Right? You're saying the living entity shouldn't identify with the body. But Krishna is identifying with the body. So, would that be a fault in consideration of the teachings that he's taught? And he points out, no, because I am my body. There is no difference. You know? Like that. And so, therefore, all this is correct. There is no false ego. This is actually his position. Yes. Right? So that's why everything connected to him, everything comes from him. It's just a fact. That's the whole point. Lord Krishna continued, my dear Uddhava, thus all of the doubts of the sages headed by Shanaka were destroyed by my words. Fully worshipping me with transcendental love and devotion, they chanted my glories with excellent hymns. The greatest of sages, headed by Shonaka Rishi, thus perfectly worshipped and glorified me. Sonaka Rishi, and glorified me, and as Lord Brahma looked on, I returned to my own abode. Conclusion. He performs this activity, and then having performed, then he goes. He doesn't hang around because maybe you'll say something more, or, you know. So he's done the service, he's done his activity, he goes. Conclusion. Having withdrawn the mind from all other objects, one should directly and appropriately absorb it in the Lord. Unfortunate persons who are bewildered by the urges of the mode of passion become the slaves of their senses. Even though they know that the eventual result of their work will be suffering, they cannot avoid engaging in such fruitive work. A discriminating person, on the other hand, keeps himself detached from the objects of the senses, and by utilizing appropriate renunciation, takes shelter of unalloyed devotional service. So appropriate renunciation means connecting it to Krishna. Right? So if you're in a position to connect it to Krishna, it would be your natural service. Then you do that. That's appropriate renunciation. Not giving up something you should offer. Does that make sense? Okay, yes. Until one revives one's direct knowledge of the spirit soul, one must cultivate those things in the mode of goodness. Because you can't cultivate passion. Ignorance is not going to give any good results. And until when you have direct knowledge of the soul, then you can function on the platform of Vasudeva Sattva, or pure goodness. So that means you haven't become self-realized, but at the same time as you have the proper understanding. So therefore, you cultivate those things in goodness. One may say they're material, but that's exactly the point. Yes. Is that our mind and consciousness is still affected by material. So therefore, we're going to use the best quality of material. Yes. Right? Does that make sense? So it won't contaminate. Yeah. Is that? Yeah. By increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles. Right? Because you can understand and you can practice. So why both of those have to be there? Understanding and practice. Right? Because you may understand but not practice, or you may practice and not understand. Or you may not understand and not practice. So then if you're not understanding and not practicing, and practicing but not understanding, those are the two features of Niyamagraha. Right?
And there is no realization.
You won't get realization from these positions. Like that. Because if you give up, then you don't understand and you don't practice what benefit you can get. The other one you practice but you don't know why, but you'll get purified. And so with time, then knowledge and detachment will come. So at least that's a stronger position. Still not ideal, but a little bit stronger. Right? Unless there's false ego, because one is following, so therefore that superiority, then that will create obstacles. Right? Yeah. Yes?
The Prabhupada says that religion without philosophy leads to religion without philosophy is sentimental.
Yes. Becomes sentimental. So then, like you see sometimes sometimes devotees will get into something that's connected with Krishna consciousness, the secondary aspect. Mm-hmm. Let's say communities or farming or the cows or these kind of aspects like that. Devotee care. Yes. These things, now they're an important part of the process. But we may focus on them without actually understanding the philosophy behind it. It will become sentiment. Though, it's in the mode of goodness, so it's not going to can be contaminating, but it still can be distracting. Because the reason that we are involved in these is because of the connection with Krishna, so we always have to see that that connection is there. Because we are dealing with the secondary aspect. Right? Rupa Goswami didn't mention, let's say, taking care of a community or devotees or cows as one of the five main direct activities. These are important supporting activities. As you mentioned, worshipping banyan trees and, you know, cows and all these worshipable elements that are recommended in the Vedic literature, because that establishes you in goodness. You have respect for authority. You have that principle of respect. You have that, you know, element of, how you say, sense of, gratefulness or duties, or that there are those who are superior to you. So it cultivates these good qualities in the mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's not a direct activity of devotional service. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Unless it falls within that category, like worship of Tulsi does, because that's part of the deity worship. And worship of Tulsi, she is a pure devotee. Mm-hmm. But taking care of cows, they're situated in goodness. They're dear to Krishna. You know, unless you Sarabi comes to visit, then maybe you're dealing there with a pure devotee. Yes.
We practically observe, Maharaj, if we don't focus on the direct things, and then as you pointed out, the secondary things, if we focus too much, over a period of time, it becomes so much that practically it becomes like a big disturbance, and then we shift to the other end.
Yes. Yeah. The others will shift to the other end, and then this person may be comfortable or just go off in something. And you know what I'm saying? So you get too absorbed in these things. So the secondary is important to express the primary, but it's only important because it can express the primary. But if it's not expressing the primary, then what's the point? Yes, mode of goodness is there, but then what's the difference between what we're doing and just your, average... Hindu, nicely practicing. We're doing so nicely, but there's tens, hundreds, thousands of people like this. That do all this. They just do it as a matter of course. You can go to places in India, in areas, go to various communities and that. All the stuff that we talk about that we should do, community being nice and cows and all these different things, and all, they've been doing, for as many generations as that, they know back seven, they can give you the names, right? And it's not George, Henry, Sam, Ebenezer and stuff like that. Yeah, that's really weird. But their tradition, they know their gotra, they know the whole thing like that, and they're nicely situated in goodness, but they're so distracted by the benefits of the mode of goodness, right? Because why take care of cows, Then it means sometimes you'll hear because it pleases Krishna, but generally you'll hear is no, but the piety, and then the cows do so much, and without that you don't have Brahminical culture and this and that, and it'll go on and on and on for pages and pages and pages, but... And so all that's important, it's all correct, but only as a support to pure devotion. Does that make sense? Or, communities, we have to work together and all that, and why? Because then devotees will be satisfied, and then everything will go nicely, and this and that, and then they'll be more inspired, and, people will have better relationships, but you understand? It's that, where does Krishna come into it? But it's like, of course Krishna's there, and then just on the secondary, but that's the difficulty. It's primary is the main discussion, and then secondary, if in that relationship, then you get into detail. But if you forget, it's in getting into detail, you forget the connection to primary, then it's the benefit is lost, other than the mode of goodness. And how much do we actually do those stuff in goodness, right? And we talk about it, but happening... Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole point. But there's millions of people that are doing it. They are living this lifestyle. But not in connection with Krishna. So that's the whole thing that Krishna is telling the Kumaras here, is that if it's not connected to him, if it's not seen in connection to him, then it's a waste of time. So Shankhya is to understand the difference between matter and spirit. Right, yoga is to understand how to connect with Krishna in pure devotion. That's the process. Does that make sense? And all the religious principles support these two. Does that make sense? Even the analytical is only in support of bhakti.
So, it mentions about the direct knowledge of the spirit soul and
yes.
transcendental knowledge. So then are they not this on the same level?
Which?
Direct knowledge of the soul and then transcendental knowledge is awakened at six. It's like, oh, one is...
It means you can look at it that way, but if you want to get into words, then the point is the direct knowledge of the spirit soul means that you understand that you're the soul. But then what about the transcendental means then you're applying in Krishna's service.
Okay.
Right? But otherwise, the actual being able to understand the spiritual soul can only be really actually understood by Vaishnavas. Because if you don't accept God and His energies, you won't actually understand the soul. Because anybody else who is just about self-realization, none of them actually know, I mean, none of them know what the soul is. No school. Other than Vaishnavas, no one actually knows what the soul is. They can't explain it. Basically, it always comes from matter. That's the way it is. Yeah. So they don't know the nature. Like that. So in one sense, you'd have to say, so direct knowledge, by direct, then we would have to say it's connected to Krishna. Yeah. Within this world, whatever is perceived by the mind, speech, eyes, and or other senses, is Krishna alone. And nothing besides Him. Right? Means you can't perceive anything that's not Krishna. Mm-hmm. Both the material mind and sense objects are merely designations that cover the spirit soul, who is part and parcel of the Lord. Because the devotees become absorbed in Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and rasa, the sense objects naturally withdraw from the consciousness. Because if you have something better to think about, something less better is, you know, not so important. At that time, the living entity automatically renounces the material sense objects and material mind because they're getting a taste in these higher principle of that connection with Krishna, because nothing is separate from Krishna. Right? He's making this point. He's making it here. He makes, you know, to Uddhava, he makes for the gopis. Every time it comes up, he always makes this point. Why? Because then you can always see him. Always. Whatever you're doing. Every place. Right? All superior transcendental qualities, free from the transformations of material qualities, find their shelter and worshipable object in the Lord. Right? So that's the superior qualities that they all find their worshipable position in the worshipable object, the Lord, because they're all meant for worshipping the Lord. They aren't meant for something else. So if we're using these higher qualities for, you know, material sense gratification and other things like that, community and nice and this and whatever it is, economic development, that's not actually the shelter. Money is not the shelter of good qualities. You know, being a nice guy is not the shelter. Krishna is the shelter because it comes from Him. So when you have Him, then these qualities are there, they naturally go down, they percolate down. Things don't percolate up. It's just the way it works. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, if we don't have this pure consciousness, we have a polluted consciousness when we saw the thing according to the gunas.
Say
again. If we don't have this pure consciousness,
mm-hmm.
we need to have some polluted consciousness.
We need to have.
We have.
We are forced to. Yes. Yeah, we're forced by the modes of nature. So that's the thing, it's either you have Krishna or there's Maya. But to that degree that Krishna's there, then what's left over is Maya.
Yes. So it means it's like...
So the more you become Krishna conscious, it comes to the point where there is no Maya.
Yes.
Right? Because Krishna's Suryasama. So if where the sun is, if you're out in the sun, there is no darkness. Yes. But if you're standing half in the shade and half in the sun, then you're getting half and half, you know?
Yes. Okay. This is a difficulty.
Yes. But the point is when you understand this, then you always try to see things in the context of its connection to Krishna. Because without knowing this, you won't look for this.
Yes.
Without having heard this, you will not look for it.
Yes.
And even if you do see something, it's not going to be complete. It's going to be like all these various philosophers. They come up with all these different ideas. They observe something and then try to make a complete meal out of, you know, how you say, a crust of bread or something, you know. You know, like that. You take a crust of bread, you put some olive oil, you put some this and that on it, and like, what do they call those things?
Bruschetta?
Yeah, bruschetta. What do you say?
Bruschetta.
Yeah, bruschetta. It just means old stale bread that they've done something fancy with. You can do it fresh if you're, you know, more attuned to the mode of goodness, and you just, you know, toast the bread till it's like that, and then make it. But otherwise, it originally comes from, you have pieces of bread left over that no one wants to eat, and all those things, now you put them all and do them up, now everyone wants to eat them. Like that. So, yeah, so the whole idea is that we're taking Krishna consciousness, we understand the principle, then to all these leftover little bits, we try to make it a little fancier and connect them to Krishna. Like that. That's the idea. But if we don't hear these things, we won't know. We won't be able to tell the difference between matter and spirit. Krishna said that's what Shankya is for. Tell what is spiritual and what's not. Like we were discussing this morning, that many times, these kind of social political issues that come up, they're actually straight Buddhism or Mayavad philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But because you use very nice language and put it into the context of good qualities, it sounds so nice. Because we have to remember, the Buddhist philosophy was created to get people that weren't nice and try to make them nice.
Mm-hmm.
That was its actual purpose. Make peaceful people out of people who are just so violent and self-centered that it's all about, you know, their own senses. So they don't mind killing other living entities to fulfill their needs. So to make them peaceful, that they'll be considerate of others and not do that, the Buddhist philosophy is there. So because we see a need for people being nice, that doesn't mean we have to use Buddhistic philosophy. Our own philosophy does quite well. Right. So that's the whole thing. One has to be able to tell the difference between matter and spirit. Otherwise, one will get distracted because that's the position we're already in.
Yes.
And so then by hearing Krishna, then we start to change.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like you don't know that something exists. Then you find out something nice exists. And oh, now it's there. Now you start thinking about it. You know, seeing opportunities and this and that, you know, for application. But before hearing about it, you wouldn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So until we hear from the acharyas, then we won't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So chapter 14, Lord Krishna explains the yoga system to Uddhava. Right? So he's the Lord of the yoga, so he's explaining Shankya and that basically up to now, various aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to show the yoga system.
Okay.
Right? Because he said those two. Pratigya, the Lord is devoted to his devotees. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Chapter 14 summarizes questions and answers. Sri Uddhava asked Sri Krishna question 1120 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 1114.1. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Krishna, the learned sages who explain Vedic literature recommend various processes for perfecting one's life. Considering these varieties of viewpoint, my Lord, please tell me whether all these processes are equally important or whether one of them is supreme." Sri Krishna answers this question in verses 3 through 30. So, most of the chapter. Sri Uddhava asked Sri Krishna question 1121 of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1114.31. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear lotus-eyed Krishna, by what process should one who desires liberation meditate upon you? Of what specific nature should his meditation be? And upon which form should he meditate? Kindly explain this to me, the topic of meditation." Sri Krishna answers this question in verses 32 through the first verse in the next chapter. Right, because then you see is that you take on the next one, and then to bring it into its own, that starts the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is the preliminary four. Ajaya Prakashika. In the 14th chapter, the excellence of bhakti and the process of meditation approved by those desiring liberation, but who have some bhakti, are described. Sardartha Darshani 11:14:1. Sri Uddhava wanted to know which process of spiritual advancement is best. He also desired to hear about the super excellence of devotional service, free from ulterior motives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied to him that the original process of religion revealed in the Vedas had become lost during the time of annihilation. Right? The original process, and the Vedas are doing all the things there, but it becomes lost because no one knows what it is. You know, it's just like, let's say, even today, they'll find things from the past. They have no idea what they're for, how they function at all. But before, it was a common thing that people used in their daily life, and now they wouldn't have a clue. They may speculate about them, like that, you know. And sometimes, if you do know what the thing is, it's quite humorous. You know, these big academics with their, you know, professorial positions and all that are speculating on something as simple as like what a, you know, these little things, the coolas for doing the rice or the different things. You know, because they know mortar and pestle, they don't know the grinding things, so they don't know what it's for. You know, they say, oh, it's part of some, you know, funny ritual and this and that. And, you know, yeah, maybe used in a wedding, you know, for somebody to put their foot on. But, you know, but other than that, you use it in cooking. Because the idea is after that, you're going to take it home and use it for cooking. Right? You know, you're going to wash it first. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because we have to remember, stone's more pure than gold. So, don't worry. Right? Yeah? Just in case you were worried. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied to him that the original process of religion revealed in the Vedas had become lost during the time of annihilation. At the beginning of the new creation, therefore, the Supreme Lord spoke it again to Brahma. Brahma repeated it to Manu, spoke it to the sages headed by Bhrigu Muni. And these sages in turn instructed this eternal religion to the demigods and demons. Because of the living entity's multitude of diverse desires, the system of religion was elaborately explained in different ways. Right? Because according to their attachments and that, you're trying to engage them. But because people look at the secondary, not the primary, if the secondary is all right to do, they forget about the primary. Right? Because it's always taken as automatically there. But it's not automatically there when you're dealing with indirect things, unless you think it's there, unless you understand how it's there. You have to make the connections. Means you can, of course, say, but we're going to, you know, we're going to, at the end, after we work all this out, use it for Krishna, and that's fine, as long, but you'll get that credit for it when you offer it to Krishna. Just like you go to work all week, not thinking about Krishna, not seeing the connection, but at the end of the week when you get the money, it's used, connected to Krishna, then you get the benefit. That whole week's work is then connected. But until you connect it, it's not. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so one has to see is that that's how these indirect things work. So one has to see that it's there. But better than that is sannyas, where you always see its connection to Krishna and always how it'll be used in Krishna's service. So then there's no attachment to it, no identity with it. There's no sense of possession. Therefore, the higher qualities can be manifest very easily. Right? While in renunciation, we might see qualities that aren't so ideal may be used. Does that make sense? But in sannyas, then generally it gives rise to either very quickly purifying yourself of these anomalies, or there's no need for them to arise because it's already being done for Krishna. Does that make sense? If it's yours, then you can. There's some meaning to having some false ego.
Yes.
Right? Because if you have false ego about something that's not yours, you know, even the materialists don't like that. Right? Yeah.
Why sannyas mentality means to see always the primary thing?
Sannyas means that you're always seeing the primary. It's always about pleasing the primary. Whether you have that full realization, you know, but still, it's the better position. Right? So that's what you're trying to do, is make that connection to Krishna.
And renunciation means mainly secondary trying to use. For
yeah, it's you're engaging the secondary and then at the end giving the results of the secondary to Krishna. Well, the sannyas, it's already for Krishna, so you're engaging the secondary. As the results come, they're being offered all along.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It is most. Sure to give the Krishna consciousness by the sannyas mentality.
Yes, yes. So that's why it's recommended. The attitude of sannyas in dealing with the secondary elements to connect them to Krishna, that is pure devotional service.
Yes.
Right? But, and since it's so important, therefore it's worked into the process of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's worked into the secondary. That at some point in life you're going to do that.
Yes.
Right? And then be practiced at that, then maybe you can use it in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if you're a materialist. But the qualities are there, so it's understood. So, since it's all about spiritual realization, devotional service is about that aspect, but more about pleasing the Lord. So then the whole thing is sannyas.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why when we say we're on the path of Nivriti, and within that you may use the direct or indirect as your method.
Yes.
But it's still Nivriti, because it's still about Krishna.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Maharaj, can you say that sannyas is the natural mentality of the Vrajavasis?
But which Vrajavasis?
I mean, the Nitya Siddhas are speaking.
But wouldn't that be the mentality of everybody in the spiritual world?
Yes.
They may be the best example of it, but isn't pure devotion the natural standard in the spiritual world?
Yes.
It's only in Gokul that it may not be on the platform of prema, but it would have to have strongly situated, you know, and then you can develop from there.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay, so what was he saying? Because of the living entity's multitude of diverse desires, the system of religion has been elaborately explained in different ways. Thus, different philosophies arose, including various atheistic doctrines. Because the living entity, bewildered by illusion, is incapable of ascertaining his eternal benefit, he mistakenly identifies ordinary vows of penance, austerity, etc., to be the topmost spiritual practice. Right, you see, it's a very common thing that
yes.
you're doing something that isn't seemingly self-centered.
Mm.
It's called spiritual.
Yes.
Right?
Mm.
Like that. You know, if you're doing a nice thing, you know, that's good. But if there's selflessness in that doing the nice thing, that's called spiritual.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's all. But that's just where you're supposed to... That's just... how devotional service works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, they're only seeing that secondary quality and thinking that's spiritual. No, that's a very nice position to perform mm-hmm. devotional service from.
Yes.
But on its own, it's not spiritual. Mm-hmm. If you're connecting it to the Lord, yes, you'll get some benefit. But the point is how much you know about the Lord and all that, it'll be reciprocated in that way. So if God's just the big guy in the chair that you can't see his face and just has it, you know, and on the chair there's big arms on the armchair, arms then are his arms, and all he's doing is moving his hands to the right, the fingers pointing to the right or the left, and that's your eternal results, then, you're not going to really appreciate this thing, you know, here about the Lord is devoted to his devotees. Right? That, But the only true means of achieving happiness is to meditate on offering everything to the Supreme Lord. In this way, one becomes free from all desires for selfish gratification through enjoyment of mundane sense objects, and he becomes released from all hankering for either enjoyment or liberation. Right? Because then when it's all about the Lord, he even gives up the desire for liberation. Right? So enjoyment comes from the pious activities, and liberation comes from just getting rid of all of this. So that's why one has to give up everything. So that's the pious and the impious activities. Right? The Lord then proceeded to describe the superior process of devotional service, which destroys countless sinful reactions and produces many symptoms of spiritual happiness, such as the standing of the hairs on end. Pure devotion, having the power to purify the heart, enables one to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because the devotee is very dear to the Lord and is always close to him, he is able in turn to purify the entire universe. Right? Because the Lord is the Supreme Pure. The devotee, by constantly connecting himself with the Lord, then they're able to, in this way, purify the entire universe. By virtue of his unflinching devotion to the Lord, the devotee can never be completely diverted by the objects of sense enjoyment, even if he is not able to gain control over his senses in the beginning. One desiring to attain the perfection of life is advised to give up all material processes of elevation, as well as the association of women. He should then merge his mind constantly in thought of Lord Krishna. Finally, the Lord instructed Sri Uddhava about the true object of meditation. Right, so if it's not about the secondary, it's not about any of the secondary. Right, so even household duties, it's not about the secondary, it's about engagement in Krishna's service.
Yes.
So then household life is not the association between man and woman, it's about devotees performing service for Krishna.
Yes.
Right, and just according to nature, naturally dividing up who takes care of what kind of things.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Like, who takes out the garbage?
For example.
Yeah, for example. Who does not leave their socks all over the house? For example. Yeah. Yeah, and then the true object of meditation, because otherwise people meditate on all kinds of things, candles, walls, you know, you name it, like that. But it's actually supposed to be Krishna. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 to 30. The source and goal of all knowledge, verses 31 to 46, the process of yoga. Verses 1 to 30. The source and goal of all knowledge. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Krishna, the learned sages who explain Vedic literature recommend various processes for perfecting one's life. Considering these varieties of viewpoint, my Lord, please tell me whether all these processes are equally important or whether one of them is supreme. My dear Lord, you have clearly explained the process of unalloyed devotional service, by which a devotee removes all material association from his life, enabling him to fix his mind on you." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, Uddhava asks about grading the various sadhanas about which he has heard and will hear from Krishna. The sages speak of many excellent sadhanas, Shreyamsi, which is superior. Is there one supreme sadhana? According to you, bhakti is the best. You have particularly pointed out nishkama bhakti as the best. By this bhakti, the mind becomes absorbed in you. Is bhakti the best among all processes? You should explain this, right? Because he's mentioned these things. He's mentioned about bhakti, so is that the best? Right? Because he keeps mentioning it. So, you know, is there some nuance here that Krishna is like pointing out here? You know? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "By the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas." Right, so that's the first point why one should not be anti-Vedic.
Yes.
Right? Because Krishna is the religious principles. Right? And you can't equate the, how you say, loosely held together form of recognized practiced social behavior and activities and all these things, and try to compare that with the Vedic religious principles. You can't do that, you know, even though you may claim, oh, this is the West and that's India, or we're not India, we're in the Orient, or we're not in any of these, we're down under. It doesn't matter. The point is it's Krishna. So therefore, since he created the universe, it's universal. We may have our own ideas of universal, but generally those who talk about universal, they're much of the time the least universal of all universally inclined people. Strangely enough, but like it said before, if there's pride, you get the contrary result than what you wanted. Right? So if people are sincere about their materialism, generally it has some efficacy. But when they become proud of it, that's when you see is whatever they're talking about, generally the opposite is gained. Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. O Uddhava, all philosophies arise from the Vedas alone. Right? So all philosophies do, as we saw, that you take these different philosophies, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakura showed what in the modern philosophies, where they're coming from. Or at least their particular point. Not that they arise directly, but their various points, they all arise from the Veda, whether they know it or not. Because the Veda is philosophy, you can't get something else. Mm-hmm. Right? But the purport of the Vedas is Bhakti Yoga. Mm-hmm. This Dharma arises from my Sarup, Mad Atmaka, since Bhakti is the essence of the Hladini Shakti. Mad Atmaka can also mean the process in which the mind concentrates on me. Because that's the point of Bhakti. When we see is how does one advance, it depends upon how much the mind is absorbed in Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you have absorbed it enough to become steady. You see the advantage of devotional service, you're applying it, you're trying to be steady in that. But then we see when you get a taste for devotional service, then very quickly that focus goes on, forward very nicely. Then attachment even more, bhava even more. Right? And so when it's exclusive, then that brings about the position where it comes to prema. Yes. But it has to be exclusivity. So therefore, the process, mad atmaka, the process by which the mind concentrates on me. So bhakti is the source of, essence of hladini, and it also means the how it concentrate on Krishna, because that's what is happening exclusively. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then we're so careful. We can see is that becoming distracted then is a problem. So what distracts the mind? Right? First off, anything in the mode of passion and ignorance, guaranteed distraction. So therefore you situate yourself in goodness. From goodness you can see the difference between goodness and pure goodness. Right? So when we talk about comparing the spiritual and the material, generally you have to look at it from that platform, if not from the spiritual platform. But the point is when we're spiritual, then we don't have a problem. It's when we're not so spiritual, that's when we need to be able to still analyze. So that's why goodness is recommended. Otherwise, then we'll make all these so-called philosophies based on our external, our own desires of controlling and enjoying. Right? This refers to bhakti, right? Process in which the mind concentrates on me. Since by bhakti alone one becomes absorbed in the Lord. I say bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. I am realized only by bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-21. This means I can be attained by the senses only by bhakti and by no other method. It means there isn't something else. Right? And so if we don't like that there isn't something else, then why is that a problem? Right? So either we're unregulated, so we don't want to regulate ourselves. And so then in being unregulated, then it's either unregulated in the physical or sensual, or unregulated in the mind and intelligence. So either one of these, they're going to militate against this, you know, how you say, bhaktiyaham ekaya grahya. So ekaya, only by that.
Yes.
You can't gain Krishna by some other method. So if we're presenting that, all these, how you say, aspects of philosophy and all these things that can distract, and we're trying to say that they're fine, then we have to be very, very careful, because unless the emphasis is on that pure devotion, then our engaging these things, we may get distracted.
Yes. Yes.
And so then it won't work out so good. Okay? Because the modes of nature are a problem anyway, let alone passion and ignorance. They're really a problem. Right? You know, so because when you add, let's say, you're already in avidya, right, in ignorance, then you add the modes of nature, and one of them is ignorance. Yeah. You know, it's just like you have, what do you call it? You ever heard of the preparations like death by chocolate? Right? No? It's just like everything's chocolate. It's just chocolate top to bottom. It's just, it's, you know, it's like that. Insanely amount of chocolate. So this is death by by ignorance. So you already have ignorance, then you throw the mode of ignorance on top of that. And so, does that make sense? Yeah? Kind of. Okay. You've always avoided that. Okay. How you say? What is it? Yeah. Was it some know, some may or may not know, and some have never heard of it at all, right? You know, so just like the great sages. Other processes mentioned by the sages are not actually the best, since they do not produce attainment of me. They won't produce. Only when you connect them to Krishna, to bhakti, then they will. So what is creating that? Bhakti. They themselves are not. What is the use of asking about the principal or chief means among them? Right? Because only bhakti can get, so what's the point of asking about these other methods? Because if you use it connected to Krishna, it'll work. And if you don't use it connected to Krishna, it won't work. So it's not about these other processes. It's bhakti is the supreme. End of discussion. Right? Or you could say, beginning of discussion will tell the glories of devotional service and how to apply it. Right? Sri Krishna continued, Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. From the forefathers headed by Bhrigu Muni and other sons of Brahma appeared many children and descendants who assumed different forms as demigods, demons, human beings, guhyakas, siddhas, gandharvas, vidyadharas, charanas, kindevas. Kinaras, Nagas, Kimpurushas, and so on. So Kindevas, they must be a lower form of Devas.
Yes.
Anyone's heard of Kindevas?
It is explained
after that. Oh, it's just going to be explained. Okay.
Divine men.
And so on. And all of the many universal species, along with their respective leaders, appeared with different natures, right? Because all of these species, they all have their leader, right? So all these ones that they have, you know, the head of them.
Who is the leader, the human being?
That Manu. Yeah. You know, so then you have all these different groups have their, you know, like the demigods, then you have Indra. You know, so the Guyakas will have their person and this and that. So there's always that position. It's not necessarily the same jiva, but it means there's always that position. And in the Yagyas, you have the Sarasyas. They are these leaders.
Okay.
Right.
To imagine every situation, there are some middle. You need to accept the idea.
Yeah, yeah. You always have to accept the idea. That's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if it's just Krishna and me, then it won't work out so good. Mm-hmm. Might write some nice songs, but that's kind of where it'll end.
So this is a difficulty, and the passion and ignorance is impossible to accept authority.
That's the whole point. That's why, through intelligence, one has to see. Only by coming in contact with devotees and then hearing from them about it, only then we'll know. Otherwise, we'll accept a variety of, depending upon the conditioning, one can accept. Means even all so many of these Vedic things, you can accept.
Yes.
But the idea that there's God, that you have to surrender to Him, and it's only through bhakti, and that's it. That's the tough one.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise, the whole universe accepts the Vedas.
Yes.
Right? It's just here in this one small portion of Jambudweep. You know, it's 1/81th of Jambudweep. Then there's the question of accepting or not. But all the other parts of Jambudweep and the rest of Bhumandala and the whole other planetary system, they all accept. Right? Whether they want to be devotees or not, that's another thing. But they all accept the Vedic version. So you can see those who don't accept are actually in a small, you know, but you put many of them together, they think they're the majority. They don't know that they're the, you know. Yeah. All of the many universal species, along with their respective leaders, appeared with different natures and desires generated from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, because of the many characteristics of the living entities within the universe, there are a great many Vedic rituals, mantras, and rewards. Because the idea is if they don't follow the Vedas, how are they going to get to the essence of that which is bhakti? But due to this trying to put everything into the context of their particular conditioning and their desires and everything, and not trying to disturb them, then you end up with all these different religious aspects, and who's progressing forward? Right? In other words, this idea that, you know, we in the modern politically correct, you know, liberal viewpoint have come up with soft preaching, it's always been there. Krishna made it. But the problem is soft preaching takes thousands and thousands and thousands of births to get anywhere. And it's not guaranteed it will produce this spiritual effect. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? So it's not that you're singing music and using some Sanskrit words. It has to be, you know, Hare Krishna or other devotional songs by the Acharyas. So you can't sing a Ganesh Bhajan and say it's preaching. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the point is they don't know Sanskrit anyway, so they're not going to go, hey, that's Hare Krishna. You know, what's this? Are you cheating us here? You know? We want demigods. You know? Right? Anyone's going to say that? No. So therefore, chanting Hare Krishna works quite well. And it's only three words. The Ganesh Bhajan has more words, it's more complicated. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Then why do many opinions arise? 8.5 verses explain this. The seven Prajapatis and great sages are Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Angirasha, Pulastya, Pulaha, and Kratu. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, that's the seven Prajapatis. And great sages, okay. Kindeva refers to humans on another island who do not have fatigue, lamination, or bad odor. Okay, so. Yeah, that was one. I'm not sure it's not in Mahabharata or something like that. When Krishna took, remember Arjuna, then after Abhimanyu was killed, and then, you know, he's very upset, so then he kills Jayadratha. After that, now he doesn't want to fight or anything. He's like that because of the separation from his son. So then Krishna points out, he's gone back to his place. And, you know, he'll have forgotten you. Because this, you know, one day here means six months is their one day.
Yes.
So 180 days, you take 12 hours divided into 180 parts, how much do you focus on something?
No.
Right? So then Krishna took Arjuna there to, you know, Soma's place where his son was there. And one of the things was, you know, it's like when you know, Krishna came, they saw Krishna and all that and like that, but then someone go, what's that smell? You know, I smell human. You know, like that. So that kind of Arjuna is like, oh, okay. Yeah, so he's kind of, yeah, so don't be so attached. Okay, so they're the ones between the humans and up there just on the other mandalas. It means the other parts of Jambudvip, the other parts of Bhumandala, like that. They're also known as what's it, Bhomaswarg?
Earthly heavenly planets.
Yeah, the earthly heavenly planets. So that's the benefit they get. You know how you say? No fatigue, lamentation, or bad odor. That's the only benefit you'll get. The doubt arises whether they are human or devata. Thus they are called kindeva, right? Because they're neither. They're in between. Like, you don't, it's more piety than it takes to be a human, but it's less piety than it takes to be a demigod, so they end up there. Does that make sense? You perform big pious activities if it's in connection with the Lord and all that, you go to the heavenly planets. If it's not, you go to the hellish planets. Down there. We call it hellish because it's really not about Krishna. They have all material facilities. It's like being in a high-grade mall. Right? Really nice and everything, but no sun. Nothing natural. Nothing there. But it's all about sense. The mall's totally about sense gratification. Right? So, actually, if you look at it from another, it's a hellish situation. So you have seven planetary systems below us. So it's the one on the top, they have better malls. And then as you go down, it gets not as... So Patal is not so good.
It's like the local market or something?
Yeah, it's like that, you know. Yeah, with flies. Yeah. Yes, like Butter Bazaar, yeah. Okay, where were we? Oh, down here, okay. Kinaras are somewhat like humans in face or body. Face or body. Kimpurushas are apes who are similar to humans. Oh, because Kimpurusha Varsha. Okay, it's like that. But that's also done like Hanuman and them. I think they're Kimpurushas.
Hanuman, he stays over there in Kimpurusha.
Okay, he stays over there. Yeah. What's it also called? What was the place called in South where they all lived?
Ambi.
Huh? Ambi. When Ramachandra went south?
Kishkinda.
Okay, so it's a little different. Kimpurushas, okay. All these, so Kinara, so that means Jambavan would have been a Kinara. Mm-hmm. You know, or something like that. But the Kimpurushas then were all the monkeys. Right? Mm-hmm. All these forms have many types of desires arising from Rajas, Sattva, and Tamas, by which they are divided into humans, devatas, demons, and other forms. Because of the variety, there are many ways of explaining the meaning of the Vedas. The BBT purport states, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this verse describes the varieties of forgetfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You think, oh, it's describing all the varieties of life and that? He says, yes, all the varieties of forgetfulness. The different Vedic mantras and rituals are specially meant for the different species of intelligent beings throughout the universe. But this proliferation of Vedic formulas indicates only the variety of material illusion and not a variety of ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of the many Vedic injunctions is one, to know and love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the Shema is the point, right? The Lord himself is emphatically explaining this to Sri Krishna. It means that is the thing. So he's emphatically. You have all these other methods to engage it through according to one's nature and conditioning. But this is the point that is trying to be made. the ultimate purpose is bhakti. So if bhakti is not connected with it, it's not actually progressive.
Yes.
Right? You may be progressive past passion or ignorance, but then generally someone in goodness, they'll use that religious process. But if one's in passion and ignorance, then even situating yourself in goodness is only going to happen because of pure goodness of bhakti.
Yes.
Right?
So, yes.
Does that mean? Yeah. The Lord Himself is emphatically explaining this to Sri Uddhava. Sri Krishna continued, "Thus, due to the great variety of desires and natures among human beings, there are different theistic philosophies of life, which are handed down through tradition, custom, and disciplic succession." Right? So theistic philosophies means they accept the Vedas.
Yes.
Right? Because that's what we're discussing.
Yes.
Is that I spoke the Vedic knowledge of Brahma because I myself am their religious principles enunciated in the Vedas.
Yes.
So, but the direct is bhakti, and the indirect is all these other aspects. So you can say the bhakti aspect is him, Bhagavan. All the other religious principles are him as Brahman and Paramatma.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So they're all him. And they'll all establish you nicely in goodness. But you won't get pure goodness unless it's about Bhagavan. Right? Some of you. There are other teachers who directly support atheistic viewpoints. Right? So there's other teachers. So all these ones that he's described, they're all following the traditions that are theistic. They accept the Vedas. Then you have the atheist ones who don't. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. There are ignorant, heretical teachings handed down in guru tradition. These are contrary to the Vedas since they are completely material. Though the water of the Ganga is pure and sweet, when received by the roots of bitter or poisonous trees growing on its bank, it becomes distasteful sap in the trees. Similarly, when the Vedas come from the mouths of these faithless people, the meaning becomes distasteful and gives results which are opposite to the normal results. Right? So even if they do talk Vedas, it seems that they're talking, but they're not actually talking. Right. So I say, read Kumbh Mela. Right? Yeah. Sri Krishna continued, "O best among men, the intelligence of human beings is bewildered by my illusory potency, and thus, according to their own activities and whims, they speak in innumerable ways about what is actually good for people." The BBT purport states, "According to one's individual way of doing things, yata karma, and one's personal preference, yata ruchi, one speaks to others about what is good for him, them. Everyone thinks, what is good for me is good for everyone."
Yes.
Yes, of course. Mother Bhumi said to Prithu Maharaj, "A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts." Srimad Bhagavatam 4.18.5. And you'd have to say she's seen it all. Like Bhumi Devi, you know, whoever's there, all the kings, all the different cultures, she's seen it all. Yeah. Mosquitoes. Okay. Sri Krishna continued. "Some for self-realization go to the light. He's going to the smoke." Because then with no mosquitoes, he can then focus on the light. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, "Some say that people will be happy by performing pious religious activities. Others say that happiness is attained through fame, sense gratification, truthfulness, self-control, peace, self-interest, political influence, opulence, renunciation, consumption, sacrifice, penance, charity, vows, regulated duties, or strict disciplinary regulation. Each process has its proponents," right? So even here, consumption, right? So in modern capitalist society, it's one of the proponents of, you know, what you have to do, right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "These whimsical paths are described, Dharma here means the path of karma mimamsakas. They say a person desiring liberation must not perform forbidden acts or kamya karmas. He should perform daily and periodic duties with a desire to give up sin. Because don't even see kamyaka is not good, because you're trying to get something now. And so the point is, if you want to get something later, then you've already gotten it now. You won't get it later. So they don't do like that. That's why they get so bent out of shape when we say the nitya naimittic activities actually aren't going to give you, you know, bhakti. They're given up, because their whole philosophy is following that. Right? Does that make sense? So they don't understand is the activity may remain, but it's not being done for on the position of an authority of its nitya naimittic aspect. It's there because of it's recommended by the acharyas to use in Krishna's service. Mm-hmm. So then you're accepting devotion, not nitya naimittic.
Yes.
Right? So it says, yes.
Can you say that the karma mimamsas are the best of the vaishyas, because it's all about gain?
The best of the vaishyas.
Yeah. So, because they want the maximum gain.
But is liberation not a gain? Is, how you say, control over the citizens so that there's peace and prosperity, is that not a gain? You know, is developing your proper knowledge and all that not a gain? So why just put gain only with vaishyas? Because then it's the economic gain. That's the whole point. Everybody is all about gain and safety. It's just a matter of that. The Brahmin gains knowledge, and that knowledge he feels as safety. The Kshatriya, then it's the political advantage, and that creates safety. Right? The Vaishya, then if it's money, then you'll be safe. And the Shudra, then it's his fame and his skill and all these kind of things. That will make him safe. Right? But somehow or another, it never does. They become a celebrity, and then the next day, no one even knows who they are. Right? So much for...
That's why they're always worrying about
that. Yeah, so that's why you don't have, you know, this point here. What was it before about the no fatigue, lamentation, or bad odor, right? So, exactly what they're always worried about. Right? Fame means fame sung in poetic works. It is said, a person will stay on Swarga for as many thousands of years as the years he is glorified on earth. Oh, okay. So that's why they're always so... Is he always heard? Because you also have the aspect of the pinda. So they're so worried about having a son, because he'll do the Shraddha rites. But then it also is that they do great work that people will glorify them. Like, you know, even till today, they're still talking about Harish Chandra. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's still there. Right? Does that make sense? I wonder if the opposite is true. You stay in hell for as long as people are still criticizing you and stuff like that. Anyway. Kama refers to the actions recommended by the author of Kama Sutras. Okay, sense gratification. Oh, sense gratification. Okay. So it's still about Shastra. Does that make sense? It's not just when they're saying sense gratification, it just means anything you like. It means about what Shastra says. Truthfulness, control of senses, and control of the mind are recommended in the scriptures advocating liberation. Okay. Other proponents of practicality who take support of morality and punishment, Arthashastra. Practicality, okay. Because you always have just being practical, and they're the ones that are always worried most about morality and punishment. Right, like that. Speak of wealth for one's own use. For them, the process is sama, dana, beta, and danda. The lokayatas, followers of Charvaka, recommend both renunciation and eating. Because if you don't renounce, then you can't actually sit down and get, you won't get hungry, so you can enjoy a good meal. So there has to be, you know. The followers of the Vedas recommend sacrifice, niyama, yama, austerities, and vows. Sri Krishna continued, all the persons I have just mentioned obtain temporary fruits from their material work. Indeed, the meager and miserable situations they achieve bring future unhappiness and are based on ignorance. Even while enjoying the fruits of their work, such persons are filled with lamentation. Because it's never quite exactly what they expected, or the volume, or whatever it is. You know. O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Right. So now he's pointing out, it's not just the devotion, but he's talking about it in relationship to him. Srila right? Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Therefore, bhakti is the essence of the Vedas. Being defined as the best process, it brings about attainment of me. The rest of this chapter answers Uddhava's question. The devotees attain happiness because of me, the shelter of prema, the ocean of form and qualities. Those who are fixed in material objects like sense control, mind control, and knowledge, and even the jnanis, who are fixed in material sattva, do not attain even Brahman. Right? So that's the whole point. They don't actually attain any of those positions. What is the use of yoga, Shankhya, sannyas, study of the Vedas, other auspicious acts in which the Lord does not give the realization of himself? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-12. So the realization of bhakti comes from Krishna, from Krishna. So if you're not following a process that will then get his mercy, what's the point of it? It's not that, oh, by doing this then we'll be qualified for bhakti, it'll never happen. Right? Does that make sense? So that doesn't work. Otherwise, we see great sages like Durvasa Muni, very knowledgeable, very powerful yogi. You know, in other words, who could, you know, run in front of Sudarshan Chakra, right? But Sudarshan, you know, it's not that Sudarshan could go faster. It's just right there, just behind him. He can feel him right there, and he keeps running. You know. It's not even a little space. You know, you turn your head around, you cut your nose off. So you just, you know, that kind of close. And so he runs all over the universe. Who can do that? Right? And in the pictures I saw, he's doing it in his peg shoes, right? So that he's really a good yogi. Right? And so he's moving around whatever the speed of mind or whatever it is. Then he goes to Vishnu, you know, goes there, but it has to be surrendered to the devotees. So that's what's recommended. Krishna says it's about the devotees, about association of devotees, right? Like that. So that is what's going to get Krishna's mercy. Nothing else, right? Bhakti, the process of bhakti in the association of devotees, that will get these other ones. If they're supportive of that, fine. But if they're not, then they're not going to get you anything. It's not that, no, we'll make a better situation, then bhakti will go better. It won't happen. If it doesn't happen for Durvasa Muni, it's not until he surrenders to Ambarish, the devotee, and appreciates, then only now he starts to appreciate bhakti. It doesn't say he took up bhakti. He starts to appreciate bhakti. Right? So therefore, these other processes won't work. Right? Being Brahma doesn't mean he understands. Right? So it's just devotional service.
But it is very rare now.
Yes. But it's the natural position of the living entity. So coming in contact with it, then that's just naturally what one does.
Because all this, you can say, list, you know, of different people doing different things.
They're all in the whole universe.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that that's why I take up devotional service. Don't worry about that. They're all over the universe, but they're going to still be all over the universe.
Yes.
And whoever is wherever they are now was somewhere else before.
Yes.
The guys in Patala are now on the heavenly planets, the guys in heavenly planets are on Patala, and you know, it's all happening. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Therefore, bhakti is the essence of the Vedas. Oh no, we already prayed that one. Down to here. Sri Krishna continued, one who does not desire anything within this world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal to all conditions, equal in all conditions, and whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. Okay, so someone who's not connected with the material world in the way of any need or desire, and just as connected to Krishna, like that, they're the ones that are peaceful and satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they find happiness. Why? Because that happiness is coming from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So when the soul is in contact with Krishna, then they're always happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So these, now why always happy? Because they're not connected with anything material. Material is what causes all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're always in contact with Krishna, then that works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Two verses describe the happiness of bhakti and the realization of that happiness. Quote, the devotee's mind and all the senses are satisfied by me, who possess great sweetness of astonishing sound, touch, form, taste, smell, pastimes, and mercy, attained through meditation. Wherever he goes becomes full of happiness. When a person with great indestructible wealth, bound in his own, in his cloth, goes to a place, that place becomes filled with happiness, wealth, and enjoyment. He has nothing because he has attained me, the great indestructible treasure. He has rejected enjoyment of temporary material wealth, and his followers represented by the word kinchana, something, since the senses absorbed in external or internal objects give no taste. Right, they can't, because you're just dealing with the mechanics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thus, he has control of the senses. Dantasya. His intelligence is fixed in me. Shantasya. Thus, he sees heaven, liberation, and hell equally. Sama chaitasaha. Because they don't, it doesn't matter. If you're absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole point. Not that Krishna, you know, Krishna arranges, but the point is it actually doesn't matter.
Yes.
So since everything's Krishna, there's no question of not being with Krishna.
Yes.
Hmm? So. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Right, so he attains it means, he gets it means Krishna gives it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then, yeah. And that will be received from, I mean, by association with devotees. By being with devotees, that's then how Krishna is pleased, then he gives devotional service.
Yes.
Sri Krishna continued, one who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfection of yoga, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you are. Right? Because he's the devotee. So these others, it means the positions, Brahma is a position, Shiva is a position, right? Then here, you know, pointing out Sankarsana, that aspect, that that what he specifically does, or the goddess of fortune, her position, and what she arranges connected to Krishna. I mean, the mechanics of the arrangements, these aren't what attracts Krishna, or even himself, just who he is. It's the devotee in devotional service, that's what attracts. So now, Brahma is the devotee, Shiva is the devotee, Sankarsana is the devotee, Goddess of Fortune is the devotee, then they're all dear because of the devotional element. Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. How much is the devotee dear to you? Sri Krishna responds, even Brahma, my own son, Shiva, arising from my Swarup, Sankarsana, my brother, Lakshmi, my wife, and my own form are not as dear to me as the devotee. Right? So everything's more dear to Krishna. It means the devotees are more dear than all these. However, out of great joy, he praises Uddhava specifically. Though Brahma and others are also devotees, their identity as son, amsa, brother, or wife is more prominent than their devotee portion. Does that make sense? Did he mention them? Yeah, so it doesn't. Don't worry. Yeah, because in other words, they're looking at the position. So it's because as wife, so that's the prominent aspect. That's why Lakshmi, though she's so attracted by Krishna's pastimes, she can't join those pastimes. You know, in Vrindavan, because those are parakia, means not a wife. But her identity with Krishna is her husband. She just finds the pastimes of her husband in the Braja Leela so attractive, but she can't give up the concept that he's her husband. Therefore, she can't enter the Braja pastimes. Same with the queens of Dwarka. They won't see like that. Does that make sense? They can appreciate, just like Lakshmi is appreciating. So the queens at Dwarka, they can also appreciate. Bhishma Deva appreciates. Right? Like that. And so then because of that, then they are they can appreciate, but they can't function on that level. So the aspect that they can't function on that, that's the part that's not as dear. But the devotee part, that is. So in other words, position isn't what's important to Krishna.
In this sense, we can say Uddhava was his friend. That's not the position. He said that Uddhava is special among all those.
Okay. Just to put it into kind of a more generic kind of thing. By law, can your friend walk off with half of your wealth? No, not at all. But can your wife? Yeah. So a different category. Son also. You know? So it's all that has that official aspect. Well, friend is not. Okay? Yeah, friend's just based on the friendship. It doesn't have any, you know, how you say, position and such.
So? Now you see that since...
So in other words, we're not emphasizing the position. He's emphasizing the devotee part. But he's pointing out these great personalities, that it's not the position that makes them dear, it's that because they're devotees that make them dear.
Yes. But the tendency is to put the position first.
Yes, because we think by position, then that'll give us gain and safety.
Yes.
The bigger the position, the more gain, the more safe.
Yes.
Right? But we see it doesn't matter how big they are and what it still doesn't work out for them. Right? Means, let's say you go back into I don't know if you'd want to, yeah, if you'd say ancient world, then Caesar, he's the emperor, you know, the biggest empire in Europe. So did that get him, you know, ultimate gain and safety? No.
To some extent, but not full.
Yeah, not quite enough. Not quite enough. You know, you just see anybody like that. They have these, but it doesn't gain. But that's the idea that they'll have.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's just like in Germany, some of those old bunkers, they tried to blow them up. They can't. It's just like they're ridiculous. I'm sure if you put something extremely ridiculous large in there, it might do some crack it or something. But point is, there's just, so how safe is that? But they all died. And even if nothing else, you're going to die anyway.
Natural course.
Yeah, just naturally, you know. So, yeah, so that's the whole thing. We take it that position is important.
Yes.
That's why we're so worried. But do I have a choice when I get there? What if I don't like it? Can I change? You know, and stuff like that. And, you know, you want to be able to keep all your, how you say, assets with the options of liquidation, you know, like that. You know, you're not fixed. It's not fixed. Like that. So it's all for this kind of thing, that we're thinking, well, this position is better than that, or, you know, how can I get a little bit more to the front, or, you know, like this and that, and all these kind of things. But it has no importance, the connection with Krishna. There is no, everything's Krishna. Where's the space between you and Krishna? Krishna's sitting in your heart. You can't get closer than that. Right? You know what I'm saying? Even your mother can't get that close. Right? Yes.
You can't have a doubt that position is given by Krishna, especially to those exalted personalities. So
but it's not the position. But it's not the position. It's due to, you already said it's because of the devotion, then they have those positions. No?
I just can't connect what's the obstacle, you know, position and devotion. It's like a natural conflict or what?
No, it doesn't have to be. It's the same point as that. If it's connected to Krishna, then it's perfect. And if it's not, then it's... You know what I'm saying? Wife is a legalistic position. Now if it's connected to Krishna, now it becomes okay. But if it's not, then it's not.
Mm-hmm. Can we say that here that he makes the comparison between the two? And to say that Uddhava's position is higher, that's why he brings up their positions, which come... as not an obstacle, but that's what makes them not as dear?
Not necessarily. However, out of great joy, praises Uddhava specific, because in other places he praising Brahma, praising Shiva, praising Sankarsana, you know, praising Lakshmi. It's not a problem at that, but just at this point, because he's with him and he's interacting with him, and so then out of his happiness, then he praises him specifically.
Yes.
Like, I think here also it is, as you go ahead, it brings out how Nanda and Yashoda are more because of their prema. It's brought up eventually. There the position is not focused. Though they are parents, because of their prema, they are more greater.
It's because of the prema. So it's just a matter of that aspect. Yes. Because it's going to be that... See, the position is secondary. That love for Krishna is the primary. So he's pointing out is the secondary isn't what's impressive to him. It's the primary. So if he says other things, then, you know, we may or may not catch that. But when he'll even point out and give example using these personalities, then we have to take it seriously. Because you don't really get any higher than that. You know what I'm saying? In the material world, you don't get higher than Brahma, right? In the spiritual world, you don't get higher than Sankarsana, right? In between, you don't get higher than Lord Shiva, like that. Does that make sense? And then as far as the Shaktis, is then the goddess of fortune. So, but the point is it's not their position, it's the prema that's important. Does that work?
Yeah.
So that's what he's bringing out. It's just a continuation of the previous conversation, where he's pointing out that all these religious processes aren't the main thing. It's the devotion, it's the bhakti that is. So now these personalities have the greatest bhakti, right? But it's the bhakti that's important. We're good. Yes. According to the rule that things are designated by predominant qualities, they should be designated as son, amsa, brother, and wife, rather than as devotees. Right? Because if you're taking the prominence. Does that make sense? So you take whatever is the prominent, that's how you define it. You know, like when we say motive goodness, because that's what's prominent. Because there's passion and ignorance also there. You know, passion means that's prominent. Good. Does that make sense? You know, Brahman means the knowledge aspect is prominent. Kshatriya means the administrative is prominent. In persons like Nanda and Yashoda, their bhakta portion is much greater than their identity as parents because of the greatness of their prema. Thus, they are called devotees rather than parents. They are dearest to Krishna. Darsha, like, he'll mention it only in, like, when he's in Dwarka and that, or in that pastime, then he'll mention about how Mother Nanda and Yashoda are parents. But it's still, he talks about the affection and this and that, and no one else is like that. So they're the actual parents. Mm-hmm. But you see with Vasudeva, Devaki, then them being parents is quite a prominent element. But when Krishna's in Braj, it's not about Nanda and Yashoda or the others being parents or any of these things. They are, you know, for the pastime, but it's not that that's the prominent element. Yes. It's the devotion that's prominent. Yes. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premananda.